I want to share what I have to say today with everybody. It is going to all our partners, but it's also going to the members of our fellowship group that meet here on a weekend. It's going to those who join us on retreats and in our seminars and Bible schools, and all those who listen on CD. And so, to all of you, please let me speak into your heart. I want to share, very, very briefly, but share the story of how this ministry began. I don't know if everybody knows the details, and certainly how it all came together and how this ministry literally works today. Or you could put it this way, how is it that persons hear what we are saying on CD? How does that come about? How has it come about? How is it that we can have the retreats and the Bible schools and so on? What's the mechanism behind all of that? You see, it's not true. It's absolutely not true to say that this is my voice that is the ministry. There's no, in the scripture, there's no such thing as a lone ranger. And I know that's very difficult for North Americans to understand. We are built upon strong independence. But the fact is, let me say it again, in the scripture, there is no such thing as a lone ranger. The New Testament, almost all of the scriptures that we sometimes apply as if we were the only person in the universe, and there is truth to that, but we so often forget that originally it was written plural. It was written to accompany an organic group of people. And so for me to ask the question is how this ministry works, we do not focus necessarily immediately on me. I am the voice of a ministry, but the vision of the ministry, the message that is heard by you and around the world, that message is held up, shall I say. It's got a foundation to it, and it is sent out to the world by many persons. In fact, if I go back over the decades, I would have to use the term multitudes of persons who have been and literally are standing with, upholding, making it possible. Right at this very moment, there are, I don't know how many, it would be foolish to try and count, persons who are specifically praying for me, and also for those who hear me. And so you are prayed for by persons that on this earth you'll never meet, because they are given to praying this ministry into success in the hearts of people. The fact that we can do it, the very pieces of equipment that we use to do it, that is paid for by persons whose names you will never know until you meet them in the heavenly realm. We are upheld, I say, by a group of people, a tight-knit, organic group of people, bound together by the Holy Spirit, who stand with us in prayer and in giving of their finances in order for this ministry to take place. And of that organic, Holy Spirit, organic group of persons, I am the voice. I am the speaking out into the world, but I'm not a lone ranger. Now, when I say it like that, would it help if I said that right at this moment, my speaking to you and you who have listened to CDs, you who have been to Bible schools and retreats, we all are standing on the shoulders of those who have in the past and are in the present making this possible. I think that's a fair statement considering the way things are. Let me go back to the very beginning. It was 1952. Boy, does that ever feel a long time ago. 1952. My mother had had an experience of the Holy Spirit. And that was sort of the moving into our household of the Holy Spirit. And the result of that, ultimately, was that I, too, had an experience of the Holy Spirit. When I say experience of the Holy Spirit, I mean like to that which you read of in the New Testament, specifically in the Acts of the Apostles. And my life in terms of empowerment and in ability to see and understand the things of God was increased. It was multiplied hundreds of times. I became a totally different sort of kid. I was in my very early teenage. But so, what's the word, revolutionary was the experience of that Holy Spirit and the desire to share with the world, at least my little world, in the outskirts of London, England. We lived in the county called Essex, right on the mouth of the River Thames, and I began to have invitations. Looking back on it, it seems so almost insane that they would ask this kid to come and speak, but they did. And I suppose I had something to say, but that was before tape recorders were invented. Can you think of that? And so there was no recording of what I said. I certainly don't remember a thing I said, but it began. And it must have blessed the people somewhat because I had further invitations, which gave way to further invitations. And at that time, my mother and my father, but my father was working three jobs to keep us alive. And so it was mostly my mother, and joined together with some other women, all of them backed by husbands who were, like my father, working day and night. And those women came together and they prayed for me. And they prayed in their praying. I mean, it was not just a passing prayer request. They prayed, and in their praying, they got underneath me and they lifted me and they prayed for me to be able to speak the word of God with clarity and so on and so on. And I did. And they continued to pray. And I knew that I had to give further time for the study of Scripture. And in England at that time, when you went to Bible school, you couldn't work. You know, today chaps go to school and work in the morning and school in the afternoon or whatever. Well, you couldn't do that. That was totally unheard of. When you went to Bible school, the gates closed behind you and 24/7 you were studying Scripture and you were praying and meditating, and then you'd work on the property. But there was, you came with your money in hand, or you knew it was going to come. There was no working. And I went to Bible school, and the prayer group that had been praying now for the last year, or maybe a little more than a year, they now took another step. And as a prayer group, they joined together and dedicated themselves to pay my way through Bible school. Now, I want you to note that that time in England, we of course had come out of the Great Depression, but straight into World War II. And World War II was not something in history books, nor was it something across the Atlantic. It was across the English Channel, which was just literally a few miles from where we lived. And so we were on the front lines of World War II. And we lived. The earliest memories I have in all those early years, it was nothing but bombs and air raid sirens, the Blitz of London, and so on. Well, we just come out of that, battered and bleeding and bruised as a nation, and there was no money, and that's why my father was working three jobs to keep us alive. And I don't know, looking back on this, I don't know how those women and the husbands behind them had the resources to even find the money, let alone the faith and the courage to give that money. Investing in me, a little teenager that was blabbing around the country, amazing, amazing. But they were the first ones that I would call partners. They made it their life to put me through Bible school and then to enhance and be behind that ministry emerging in prayer and in giving. They had moved in to what I call the divine potential, could you say principle? Although that's a cold word, but right there in Scripture, you have this principle of divine potential. It's the way God moves. It's the way God acts. Well, what do I mean by potential? Well, let's begin with another word, resume. Resume. You've heard of that, haven't you? You write your resume when you try to explain to a would-be employer what you've done. A resume is everything you have thought, every idea you've ever had and done something with. It's the sum total of your imagination and where that has led you right up until this moment. It's the record, the historical record of everything that you have done and achieved and been through. Your resume, that's it, everything. The sum total of your life to this very minute on the clock, everything that now is part of your history, that's your resume. Now, tragically, and I mean that, tragically, when your resume becomes the boundary of what you believe that you can do, okay? It's when your resume, everything that you have done, now dictates what you can do. That is because I've done it, so I know I can do it, but that's it. I can't do any more. That's it. Many people, I think, get to their late teens or early 20s, and really, they simply relive their resume for the rest of their life. They never get beyond it, especially if there's been some point in that resume of great success. Or if in that resume there has been some great act of faith, some great experience of God, and you say, well, that's it. I've climbed Everest. I've arrived. That's it. That's the boundary. And so forevermore look back and say, well, when I had that success, when I had that experience of God, but never go any further. You live within your resume, tragically. Tragic, because that means you never get to this other word, potential. Because potential is the word that describes where you have never thought. It describes ideas that you have never had. It is imaginations that you've never had, never pursued. It's words that you've never spoken or shared. It is achievements, doings that you have never ventured into yet. Okay, that's the key word, yet. Thoughts, ideas, imaginations, words, achievements that you've never even dreamed of yet. But it's there, sort of drawing you on. You get thoughts that are from this potential, thoughts of what you could do, thoughts of what might be, thoughts of where you could go. And they dance, and really they're beckoning to you. But 95-98% of people just let them be thoughts that pass through the head and never recognize its potential that is calling you forth out of resume. You see, God life, which in the New Testament is called eternal life, or as I've taught some of you, Zoe life, that life of God that is in us through the Holy Spirit is ever, ever moving forward, always forward. The life of God is life in infinite potential, and He's always moving forward. He's ever breaking old molds and expanding. He touches on this in Ephesians 3, and at the end of that chapter is a magnificent prayer. And in that prayer he says that it would all be according to this God who is able to do exceeding abundantly, beyond and above all that we can think. And the words there are think and dream and imagine according to the power that works in us. He's speaking of potential, the divine potential of God. Let me put it like this. What the Holy Spirit can do in and through you is beyond your wildest dreams at this moment. We can only think in a comfort zone of our resume. We can never dream, literal dreams that sound sensible, of what God would do through us. Those women who gathered to pray back there in England just after World War II could never, and I mean it, never in their wildest dreams think of my being able to sit in a little room in Bandera, Texas, and literally talk to the world. They could never dream that. That would almost sound like witchcraft. They could never think it. The mechanical aspect, they couldn't think of computer. We'd never dreamed of a computer. Hardly thought of a phone. Do you see what I mean? Nor could they ever think whatever they believed that God could do through me, it was not that my voice would travel through waves of internet to thousands of voices in other countries. They couldn't dream that. It's potential. It was potential. You see, I said this is divine potential. It's God's method. If you go back into Genesis in chapter 1, It's spelled out there. Read the chapter. We don't often read that chapter. Read it and see what is said concerning the life that the Creator placed within creation. And let me say specifically of the seeds. When He brought into being the first grasses and fruit trees and so on, and it is said that they will bring forth after their kind, and he said their seed is in itself. That's a tremendous statement. He said that these are the only trees, he said, that I'm going to create. The only ones. God only created trees once, and they're all in Genesis chapter 1. He said, the rest of trees, all down through millennia, scattered through the entire creation, all grasses, all flowers, they have the seed in themselves. And they will bring forth after their kind. They'll bring forth other trees like itself and other flowers and other grasses. And so the grass that is in your lawn today was potent or potential in the first grass that God made. And as that grass grew, there was seed, and the seed blew and sprouted, and that grew, and there was seed in it, and it continued to multiply and multiply itself. That's the potential. You hold an acorn, you've heard this before, but it's so true. You hold an acorn in your hand, but the truth is you are holding a forest of oak trees. You really are. That's not just a nice saying. You really are. In that acorn is the same life that produced this acorn. And this acorn will bring forth after its kind because the seed is in it. But every acorn brings forth other acorns, and each one has life, and so they bring forth and bring forth and bring forth. It's the way it works. You hold a little kernel of wheat in your hand, but really you are holding tons and tons of wheat in your hand, for it will bring forth after its own kind. I said that prayer group of women who prayed and then who gave so that I would go through Bible school, they had connected with this divine potential. And divine potential is activated by faith. And the Holy Spirit took their potential and hovered over it and called forth life and called it forth to its fullest potential, so that their gift, and what was it? I really don't remember. I remember having pound notes in my hand, which was roughly equivalent to a couple of dollars, and 5 pound notes, and but how much they gave, all I know is that I was carried through Bible school. They invested. That was their life turned into cash and now given into, with prayer, this kid who they believed had a ministry. And the potential of their giving is beyond words. They enabled me to be equipped to go and with greater clarity preach and make known this good news. And as my words fell on the ears of others, others came to know Jesus and the love of God. And they in turn, and so on, it was multiplying. Never forgotten that, because you see, I wouldn't be here today as I am. I'd be somewhere, I know, but I wouldn't be here as I am. You wouldn't be listening to me as you are if those few women had not given themselves to prayer and giving. That they were like the first grasses of Genesis 1. And then out from their giving, others and others and others, and that little tiny prayer group of women who could do nothing but what they did has become a worldwide expansion of the message of the love of God. Do you get that? It was in 1964 that I came to the United States and saw things I'd never dreamt of before. Vast, open opportunity, fields of ministry. But as I began to travel in the very beginning, I was not paid enough in the churches to do anything more than fill my gas tank and get to the next meeting. And those women came in again. And I remember various parts of the United States, I would be opening envelopes, and there were their gifts that enabled us to keep doing what we were doing. It's amazing when I look back. The state of the British economy, and yet they did it. And during that time, they had my schedule, and wherever I was in the world, they would be praying for me, my mother especially. Didn't matter if I was in another time zone. When I was preaching, she would be praying. They invested. They were the original seed, and they were bringing forth after their kind. 1969, and I was thrust into the now exploding, what became known as the charismatic movement. I became one of the teachers of that movement. And the partners at that time, those who stood to make it happen, those who financed all that we did in those years in vast auditoriums and in moving into the tape ministry and on radio and television, that was all paid for by partners. But where did the partners come from? They came from those few women in London who had given the first, and the Holy Spirit had used that first and expanded it and expanded the expansion until it reached these people who now brought forth after their kind and became the givers. Do you understand that? You see, we do charge for Bible school. We charge for our retreats. But believe me, that doesn't cover the expense of doing it. So, although we charge, yet we can honestly say that the Bible schools and the retreats and everything else we do are undergirded by partners who are giving, and they are giving from that first thrust way back there in the 1950s. It means, and has meant for decades now, I am never limited by what a church can do. Never limited by what people can afford. Because I've got people standing with us who will be there every month in their giving, enabling the reaching into places where otherwise I could never dream of going. It was partners who financed my going around and around the world and speaking to persons who really never would have heard what I had to say, but for those countless persons who paid for it, you see. So, the ministry is not me. The ministry is an us, because the partners are such a vital, I cannot emphasize it enough, a vital part of this. So that the scripture would speak of us as one. This is hard for Americans to understand, I know. But you see, the seed that comes out of the grass that produces the next harvest of grass and so on, they are an organic unity. Do you understand? God does not create new grass every spring. It comes out of the grass that started it all. So they are organically united together. And you and I, who partner together, we are united through the Holy Spirit to speak one voice. Some of that voice is in the prayers and the giving, and the other part of the voice is in my speaking. But without the partners, there would be, well, it's stupid to say what there would or wouldn't be. It would not be what we have today. Because what sends this message to the world? What? Okay, let me put it like this. Who is it that spoke the CDs that literally thousands of persons listened to across North America and the world? Who is it? You say, well, you. No, it's my voice. But you see, those CDs, and they were made, many of them, back in the 70s and the 80s, but everything that happened to make them become, I mean, some of those were done in vast auditoriums. Who paid for the auditoriums, you see? Who paid for the radio program where others were done? It was the partners that stood with us and believed in the message, had been transformed by the message, and now wanted the world to know. And it was their giving that enabled us to have the venue, enabled us to produce the environment in which the message was given, that in 2014 you are listening to today and your life is being changed. Do you understand now that I say you stand on the shoulders of those who went before? A multitude of people paid for that CD to come into being. And so we, this company that is an organic unity in the Holy Spirit with me, we send it forth. And the Bible speaks, and I'm not going to go here, but the Bible speaks of reward. Never think of the rewards of God. You know, when I get to heaven, I get a reward, as if there'll be a ceremony in which you get a gold watch for making it through. No. Gold watch is just a thing, nothing to do with anything except appreciation. But the reward in the Bible is an organic. The reward of the wheat seed kernel is the harvest. That's its reward. A man loves a woman and seeks to know her, and the reward of that love for that woman is marriage. It's an organic unity. It's everything coming to its finale. The reward we enjoy today. Paul said to the Thessalonians, "You are my crown, my gold medal," we would say today, of rejoicing. You are. Who have heard what I said and have responded and become part of this now. And so the partners now enjoy reward, even as they shall enjoy with me, in a way that none of us can comprehend where this message has gone. And so a partner is a person who, with us here in Bandera, lives in the potential, gives in potential. That is, they're never controlled or boundaried. They never give by what their resume says is sensible. Because, you see, your resume knows that you've given so much, and yes, you got through giving it. And so when the challenge comes to give something more than that, your resume says, now that's no, you can't go that far. That would be wasting it. That's dangerous to go there. You don't. And so resume is always pulling me back to live comfortably in the resume. But a partner is someone who lives, who gives, who thinks in terms of potential. What I've never done yet, where I've never gone yet, where I've never dreamed yet, where I've never given yet. So a partner is a person whose life and their life turned into dollars is a seed with unbounded potential. We have just, and I mean just before I came in to speak to you today, had a young man here who is going to be joining me to assist me in the ministry. His name is Andrew. And we were talking, you see, his father came to my meetings in Ponca City in Oklahoma in the 1970s. And he was a Nazarene pastor, and his life was turned around. And Andrew's first memory as a child was hearing my voice on tape and being taken to meetings. Who would have thought, the partners I mean, who gave the money that made those meetings possible, the partners who gave the money that made the making of tapes and CDs possible, who would have thought that one listening to that in 2014 would be blossoming into a man of God with ministry and coming here to assist. I mean, do you understand this principle? I was talking the other day to another young man, Ray, in Colorado, and he, just in the last 6-9 months, has spoken to thousands of people. And he has been with us, and listening since the 1980s, I believe. And then he came to our Bible school and now is flourishing in ministry. And I want to announce it to the world, to you who are partners. Do you realize Ray is standing on your shoulders, that you are directly responsible? This is your reward. It's the seed that has come to full fruition. I say this, there's no such thing in the scripture as a lone ranger. Moses did not deliver the people alone. God gave him Aaron to stand with him. David, we always think of David, but David was surrounded by what are called mighty men. We'd call them partners today. See? Paul, well, yes, I know Paul, but it was always Paul and Barnabas and Paul and Silas. And then if you read carefully on through the Acts of the Apostles and the Epistles, it was Paul and quite a little gang of persons who traveled with him wherever he went. He was never alone. In fact, many scholars have good reason to believe that when he wrote his letters, our New Testament epistles, it was a joint effort. His cell where he sat and wrote these letters was probably full of these people who threw in their own revelation and insights which were included into the letter. We are not lone rangers. We cannot do what we do apart from those who are infusing their strength and their life and their giving and their praying into what we're doing. And let me say this, we in Unconditional Love Fellowship, we have not tapped, we've not even begun to see the potential of what the Holy Spirit can and will do through this ministry, which, in another way, through you and I together. What we, you know, we used to charge for all of our tapes and then our CDs, which was a great part of the undergirding finances of ministry. But then we went to the web and began to broadcast on the web, and that was charged. People paid for that. And then we came. My wife Nancy had a real burden that we should give it away. And I can't tell you, that was an enormous step of faith, that we were saying goodbye to a big portion of our ministry support that came through selling of the messages that I preached. Now we're going to give them away free of charge on the web. And it is amazing how many persons listening on the web have become partners, enabling us to do that very thing. But now, what we are praying with and looking to is something even more, what can I say, vast, that we're going to put Bible schools on the web, which will mean persons in Australia, New Zealand, and Africa, and China and the Middle East can join us in a Bible school. And, well, that will be done by partners that have not even yet revealed their names, you see. They're still in potential. We want to put free of charge our CDs into prison libraries. We are in contact with many prisoners, but we're not allowed to send them freely material. But if we can go through chaplains into the libraries and put the CDs there, we want to put them into shelters where abused women can take them and listen to them 24/7. Want to go into junior, whatever they call them, rehab centers and the teenagers in their prison before they go into the big prisons. Oh, we want to do this. This is, I say, that there's no limit to what the Holy Spirit can and will do through this ministry. Many have been partners with us since the 1970s. We stand this day on the faithful shoulders of persons that have never left us, and their gifts have been there month after month. God bless them. But now, some have gone to be with the Lord. Others are in assisted living homes, and most of them no longer work. And so their giving is greatly cut back. But they still give out of their Social Security. They still give. What I am looking for today, in speaking so frankly to you, I am looking for nothing short of a multitude of persons who will stand not only in the gap that's been left by those who have gone to be with the Lord, but make up new battalions of partners. And I'm looking for it, shall I say, urgently, now, because, let's face it, I'm on the last marathon of this ministry. I have been speaking since the early 50s, as I said. And from those early 50s, I have been carried and borne by partners, praying, giving partners, right up until this present moment. And now I face the fact of my mortality. And whichever way you want to say it or look at it, I'm on the last marathon of this ministry. I began in the worst days of an economy. I began in the worst days of a nation as they staggered out of World War II. And yet, a group of peasant women, I mean, none of us, we were in the British system. We weren't in the upper class. We were the peasant class. And those peasant women and their working husbands began this ministry. And the potential of their giving is in the multitude that is listening to me right now. I'm now asking for the last group to stand with me in the last marathon. I am in excellent health. I take no pharmaceutical drugs or anything else, nothing over the counter either. I'm totally drug free, and I'm in excellent health. And I anticipate the next number of years to be filled with continuing to share this word of God. I'm asking now for you to join us as one of the partners who stand with me in these last years of the last marathon to proclaim this message to the ends of the earth. The potential of that. You and I together. The potential. Look, you do realize 120 people in the upper room, the potential of those 120 with the Holy Spirit produced the worldwide church today through the centuries. Two men landed in Europe and went to Philippi, and all they got for their trouble was a beating and imprisonment, yet the potential of Paul and Silas in Philippi spread the gospel to the entire continent of Europe. That's potential, you see, the potential. And so I look at my existing partners who are getting this CD this month as our regular communication, and I'm asking you, take great heart and courage at what your giving is and has done. But also, I'm asking partners, step out of your resume into a new potential. Your tax receipt of giving last year is resume. It's where you've been, what you've done. Stand with us into your potential, where you've never been, never thought, never imagined, never done. And for those who are not partners, yet your heart is with us, your life has been changed, and you have given betimes, and thank God, and God bless you for that giving. But I'm asking in these words for persons to join us as partners, to stand with us on a regular monthly basis in prayer and giving, that this message is joined to the world, to individuals who you'll only meet when the full harvest is seen and gathered in. That whatever, if the Holy Spirit does not bring you to be one of our partners, can I just finish by saying, never stop pursuing your potential of Christ in you through the Holy Spirit. If you would become a partner, call our office today or go for details on our webpage, and the Lord Himself richly bless you as you do so. And to our partners, this message this month is the partner CD. I have this burden that it is now time for us to enlarge our ranks, and with the enlargement of ranks do what is only potential within us now. And if the Lord uses this to speak to you to increase your giving, if not, I thank you as I thank the Lord for what you and I, the us here at the ranch, what we have done together in these last weeks. Thank you. Thank you. We are coming to the retreat, and let me talk about it for a few seconds. It's entitled God's Vision. I wanted to call it at one point Thinking God's Thoughts with God. But it's seeing what God sees for you. Or I suppose, though I hadn't thought of it until this moment, it's seeing the potential God sees in you for this moment, and to think His thoughts, and to learn how to see His vision, to connect with the thoughts of God concerning you. And it's a very practical retreat on how to do that, how to live in the thoughts of God. And it's on June the 6th and 7th, and then finishing on the morning of the 8th. It's going to be a great time. It's in a hotel in San Antonio, and we provide all the food, and so you'll sleep in the hotel, we'll eat together, and I'll teach, and we'll visit and pray together and laugh together and weep together. It is something that you have to experience to understand. When you are spending all these hours together with persons who believe what you believe, who can share their experience of the love of God at the same level of understanding as you, and together share in that message, which will be on Friday night, and then I'll speak again Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, and then Sunday morning, and there'll be prayer for the sick, and, well, you know, just sitting around a table and visiting over a meal can change your life. It's going to be an absolutely wonderful time. The only thing is, we are rapidly filling up, and it's summertime, and so the hotel is filling up of its own accord, and they've told us, anyone who's got to come, let them book as soon as they possibly can. And so, call Cindy at the office and get all the details, or go to our website and join us on that retreat. Well, again, I thank God for every one of you. I really, really do. And I hope what I've said on this CD has helped you understand your part and place in this ministry, and your part and place in this ministry for the next few decades. And so the Lord himself bless every one of you. Every one of you. That out of you shall flow the full potential of the Holy Spirit, rivers of living water to the entire world. Amen.